pretty probably familiar passage this morning. Luke chapter 16, the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse number 19. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the Word of God. And when I say the Word of God, I thank you for the good old authorized version, 1611, King James Bible, Father. I praise you for the Word this morning. Father, now as a man of flesh, I pray that you'd remove me out of the way, Father. I need your anointing. I need to be filled by the Holy Spirit of God if these people are going to hear your Word or learn anything this morning, Father. I just pray if there be anything in our hearts that this morning would prevent us from hearing the Word of God, I pray that you remove it, Father. Father, now, I just pray that your Word would go forth and not return void, Father, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, this is a very famous passage of Scripture used to preach on hell, amen. Preachers have preached about hell using this passage over the centuries, amen. Great preachers the other thing we want to see also this morning is this is not a parable. Some people will say this is a parable, you know, it didn't actually happen. But the thing with parables, it's not a parable, it's an actual account, because parables never give names. Never give names. The passage tells us there was a certain rich man, and he also gives the name of the beggar, Lazarus, amen. So this is not a parable. This is true. This actually is happening. It's actually going on right now, amen, as I speak from this pulpit. And what's interesting before I get into the message is, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses have their Bible. It's called the New World Translation. Of course, as we know, Jehovah's Witnesses do not, they call them, another nickname for them is no-hellers. There's no hell. There's no torment. Amen. But if a Jehovah's Witness comes to your door and wants to, you know, give their spiel what they do, have them go to Luke 16 in their New World Translation. It talks about a place of torment. Pin that on them. Show them that. Amen. See what they have to say. Amen. Usually in this passage, what's preached on is what you're going to find in hell. But as I went through this, to bring forth this message this morning, what I want to look at is not so much what you'll find in hell, but we want to look at what's missing in hell this morning. We want to see what's missing in hell this morning. Number one, in verse 24, we see the rich man. He cried. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy. One of the things missing in hell we're going to see is there is no mercy in hell. There is no mercy in hell. The rich man asked and cried for mercy, and we see none was given. Now, the word mercy in the dictionary means not giving someone the punishment they have coming them or deserve. Amen. And what's interesting, if you go through the scriptures, all through the scriptures, when man called upon the Lord for mercy, he received it. He received it. For example, we remember the parable of the publican and the Pharisee over there in Luke 18. And we see how, you know, we had the very religious Pharisee and how he looked down upon, you know, the publican. He said, hey, thank God I'm not like that publican. And, you know, I do all these religious things. You know, I pray and I fast and so forth and so on. And, you know, what a good boy am I. And basically, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. But we see that publican, he didn't even so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven. His head was down. You know, he knew he was no good. He was rotten. He was a sinner. He deserved to go to hell. And it said, the prayer that publican asked for mercy. He said, very simply, God be merciful to me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And we knew, he knew, like I said, that he deserved to go to hell for his sins, to be punished for his sins. Amen. But we are told that he received the mercy that he asked for. Amen. Because Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified. Amen. He had received the mercy that he had called upon the Lord for. We remember the story. We remember the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son there. Just in a few chapters before, in Luke 15, the prodigal son, he asked for mercy. He asked for mercy from his father, a picture of God the Father in this story here. He said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. This son also knew, he realized that he was no good. He deserved to go to hell. He didn't deserve to be called even a son. You know, he'd be happy just to be one of the servants, amen. But he received mercy. He didn't deserve it, you know, because we see that he got in with the wrong crowd, amen. He got into living a bad way, you know, living for the world, the flesh, and the devil, amen. And he spent all the inheritance that his father had given him. But look at the response in Luke 15. Look at the response of the father. It says, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry, amen. It's the same way the day you and I get saved. And we ask God for mercy, amen. We call upon his name to save us, amen. You know, it says up there in Luke 15, likewise I say unto you, in verse 10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, amen. The day you and I repented, man, there was a party going on up in heaven. Every time someone gets saved, every time someone asks for the mercy of God to be saved, amen, the angels rejoice in heaven, amen. We were given the best robe, amen, the best robe, amen. That best robe that father put on that son spiritually, what that is the best robe that you and I got put on us. We got put on. God gave us his robe of righteousness, amen. The saints of God, in Revelations tells us, are clothed in fine linen, amen. Fine white linen, amen. The best robe. The best robe, amen. He asked for mercy, the prodigal son, and he received it. How about those 10 lepers over there in Luke chapter 17? It says, when they saw Jesus coming, they were afar off, amen. And they saw Jesus coming, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What did Jesus say? Beat it, guys. I don't want any party. Look at you. Look at you. Lepers. Leprosy is a terrible disease. It eats from the inside out. You know, some of them were probably missing, you know, maybe part of the mouth had been eaten away. I don't want to gross anybody out, or their nose or their eyes or so forth and so on. You know, and by the world standard, no one would want anything to do with a leper. Look at this. Look at, you know, Jesus could have said, look at you. I don't want anything to do with you. You know, you're ugly looking. You're full of leprosy. Amen. Get away from me. That's what most of the world says today. Amen. You know, that person out there on the street, that homeless person, or that drunk in the gutter, amen, needs the Lord Jesus Christ just as that financial wizard in Wall Street needs the Lord Jesus Christ. But what do you and I do sometimes? We let that turn us off. God's no respecter of person. When he sees a soul, he sees a soul. You know, just praise God for the grace of God, we're not in the gutter. We could be there. We could be laying there in the gutter. A lot of great men of God were found in the gutter drunk. Mel Trotter, amen. Pacific Garden Mission, Mel Trotter. Billy Sunday was a drunk. Ball player, he was a drunk, amen, drank. But these 10 lepers came and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, we're told, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. They got the mercy that they came to Jesus for. They get the mercy, just like the prodigal son got the mercy, amen. Just like that prodigal son, just like that publican got the mercy that they call out for. How about little old blind Bartimaeus? Blind as a bat. Blind Bartimaeus. Over there in Mark chapter 10. Blind Bartimaeus. He was on the road to Jericho. He was a blind beggar, amen. Just laying out there. Blind Bartimaeus. It says in Mark 10, verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they told him, many charged him, that he should hold his peace. Shut up. Keep your mouth closed. That didn't keep him. He knew who Jesus was. He knew who the great mercy giver was. He just cried out. He cried out that much louder. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Again, one of society's castaways. No one wanted anything to do with this blind beggar man, Bartimaeus. No one showed him any mercy in his life. But here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Again, Jesus could have said, I want nothing to do with you. You're a blind beggar. You're no good. Haven't worked a day in your life. But we know that we're told that Jesus, in verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Immediately. You know why this is very important? Because you get all these signs and wonders people out there, you know, these healing people that say, you know, come to the tent meeting tonight, you're going to get healed, man. Some of these people never get healed. Whenever Jesus touched anybody, it always says in scriptures they were healed immediately. They were healed immediately. So we see then, Jesus gave this blind Bartimaeus mercy. He showed him mercy. He restored his sight. How about remember that? I love that account. It's always good to bring out to show somebody how you're to be saved. You know, we know that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. But that thief on the cross, all he said to Jesus was, Lord, remember me. Remember me. That's all he said. He was asking for mercy. He told the other thief said, you know, the other skeptic, if you be the son of God, you know, get us out of this predicament. But that other thief said to him, hey, you and I deserve to be up here, buddy. We're thieves. We're common thieves. You know, we've been running around and stealing and ripping off people all our lives. We deserve to be up here. This is an innocent man. And he turned to Jesus and he said, Lord, you know what? Some of the new Bible perversions, they take out the word Lord. But he said, Lord, Lord, remember me. Jesus didn't say, wait a minute, we've got to take you down off the cross, we've got to get you baptized, and then you'll receive the Holy Ghost and all this other stuff. We've got to lay hands on you. You've got to speak in tongues. You've got to get the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't say any of that. He said to that thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. He was saved. That thief was saved. He got the mercy of God. Because he asked, he cried out for it. All of these accounts illustrate when a person cries out to the Lord for mercy to heal them from their sin problem. That's what all these physical healings show us. Their spiritual application is people are sin sick when they're blind. Blind. They're blind to God, amen. They're blind to God. All these physical ailments picture someone in sin, amen, that needs to be saved. But what we want to see is then all of these accounts, these people receive mercy. They realized that they were sinners, they deserved to go to hell, but they cried for mercy and their cries were answered. But the important thing to note is when their cries took place. Not after they were dead, but before they were dead. Amen. They cried for mercy. If you want mercy, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it in hell, as we see. Mercy is missing in hell. The only mercy you can get is right now, the here and now. We see it's too late after you die. The rich man cried for mercy, and he was not heard. If you're watching today, and you're not saved, you're unsaved, don't wait like that rich man who's burning in hell, who's been burning in hell for centuries now, and he's still crying out for mercy, and there's no mercy. You need the mercy now, before it's too late. You need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and to give you the mercy now, before it's too late, before you die. So we see, number one, what's missing in hell is there's no mercy. Number two, there are no saints. God's people won't be there. Look at what it says in verse 23 of Luke 16. And he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Lazarus was afar off. You couldn't see him. You could see him, but he was afar off. As 2 Thessalonians tells us in chapter 1, verse 9, tells us the fate of those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. See, it's interesting, and there's no accidents with God, why God's people, why Abraham and Lazarus were afar off. That describes your condition and my condition before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. You and I were afar off from God and no hope until we were saved. Over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says this in 13, that at that time ye were without Christ, Paul said, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's how you and I were. We were without hope and without God in this world. But look at verse 14, or 13 rather. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, see that? We were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're brought close to God. We're not afar off anymore. Like that rich man is afar off from God and his people in that pit of hell right this very instant. He's afar off. We're no longer afar off because you and I, Christian, have been brought nigh to the blood of Jesus Christ. We're brought nigh to God. We have peace with God this very moment because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And don't ever let anybody tell you it's the death. It's the blood. It's the blood. We have redemption through his blood and even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14. But praise God, we were made nigh to God by the blood of Christ, because we would be like the rich man today. If you haven't, if you're watching at home, and you need to draw nigh to God through the blood of Christ, or will you end up like the rich man, afar off from God and God's people, with no hope? You need to do it now. You need to ask for that mercy now. There's not going to be any more roadblocks to hell. There aren't going to be people passing out tracts in hell. There aren't going to be people witnessing on the streets of hell, amen. It's now. It's now. You need to draw nigh. You need to draw nigh. You need to become from afar off and draw nigh to God right this very moment through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we see there's no mercy. What's missing in hell? No mercy, no saints. And number three, no water. No water. In Luke 16:24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The rich man's request was for to have poor Lazarus, you know, and it amazes me that he was still treating Lazarus like a lackey, you know, tell him to come and dip his finger in water and to cool the rich man's tongue. There's no water in hell. It's a place where one's thirst will never quench. I don't know about you, but There are just some jobs, some dusty jobs that we do, being out mowing the grass, especially when most of the grass is gone and you're mowing, and mostly what you're mowing is dust, amen. You get pretty thirsty and dry, and there's nothing like a cool glass of water, not even lemonade, just a cool glass of water to quench that thirst. Well, here's a man in hell, okay? He's in a hot place. There's an actual fire there, amen? But he's never able to quench his thirst. Never able. Constantly in a state of thirst. You know, it reminds me of when you go out in a desert place and you see the ground. There hasn't been rain for a long period of time. And that ground is just all cracked up. The ground has been so dry that it's cracked. Well, that's how this man's lips and tongues and throat look like. They look like the ground. It's all cracked up. They're parched, amen? You know, there's no chapstick in hell, amen? So we see there's no water. It's a dry place, man. It's dry as a bone. I mean, you don't have to worry about your basement getting flooded down there in hell. There's no water whatsoever. It's a dry place. It's a bottomless pit, amen? No water in hell. That's what also is missing. Also, no relief. No relief. No relief in hell. He says in verse 23, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You know, I looked at that again. It didn't say in torment. It said torments. Torments, plural, amen. He was in all kinds of torments. There are all kinds of, we read in Revelation, the occupants of hell, all kinds of crazy things down there, locusts and just nothing that you really can imagine. But this man was in torments, not only the flame, the quenching of the thirst, but it was plural, torments. Not just in torment. That would have been bad enough, but torments. Torments, plural. He said, I am tormented in this flame. In this flame. He's burning in the flame. Abraham said to the rich man concerning his state, thou art tormented. The rich man refers to hell as this place of torment. There's no relief in hell from the torment. No relief in hell from the torment. This is a great day to preach on hell. I think it's going to be 95. You think it's hot today. You think it's hot today, amen. It's hot in hell, beyond comparison, amen. It's hot today in hell, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. Jesus' own words about hell in Mark 9, chapter 9 says, in Mark 9, chapter 9, verse 43, he says this. He says, in thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into the life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire. This is what I want to bring out. He talks about hell. Jesus says, into the fire that never shall be quenched. That fire will never be put out. It's for eternity. It goes on and on and on. If you think, well, it's only going to be for a little while, and then things are going to get fine, and things are going to get better. Jesus said, the fire that never shall be quenched. That thing is being stoked. It gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. Actual flames. It's not just some little funny place, you know, it's some hot place. Oh, you know, I'm sure they get air conditioning in hell. They don't have air conditioning in hell, amen. Jesus said three times in Mark 9, he said in verse 44, 46, and 48 about hell and its occupants, he said, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. What this indicates to me, the occupants of hell are going to be turned in to look just like their father the devil. He was a serpent. They're going to be turned in and look like a worm. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Hey, we're going to be like Jesus, the saved, amen. The unsaved are going to look like their father the devil, amen. So you're going to look like a worm, and the fire is not going to be quenched, amen. You're going to be a burning worm for eternity, a fire that's never extinguished. Pretty gross place, amen. I can't see why anybody would want to go there. It doesn't make sense because they don't believe. See, the problem today is just like they use the Lord's name in vain, you know. We all know what I'm talking about, this or Jesus Christ, and they use his name in vain. They use hell like it's an everyday household word. Oh, what the hell, and so forth and so on. It's hot as hell today, amen. Because, see, what they've gotten used to now is that hell is commonplace. It's not a bad, you know, it's just something, you know, we talk about. But it's a place, it exists, it's real. The scriptures tell us it's real. We have the word of God on it. Jesus talks about it, amen. You know, that was one subject I read somewhere that Jesus talked more than any other subject was hell and its torment. The torment of hell, he talked about. over and over and over again. No relief in hell. Jesus says about hell, it's a place of everlasting fire. Just like you and I, when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, praise God, we get everlasting life. Praise God for everlasting life. Those who reject Jesus Christ get a place, go in a place where there's everlasting fire. Amen. Everlasting fire. I want everlasting life. I don't know about you. I want to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ, then live forever in everlasting fire. I don't know why people are so stupid. Who wants to go to everlasting fire when they can have everlasting life? Again, because they don't believe that hell exists, and it does. In Revelations chapter 14 and verses 10 and 11, John the Apostle said this about the occupants of hell. He said in verse 10, "He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever." See that? Forever and ever. Again, no end, no relief. Amen. You know, I'm reminded of the three Hebrew children who were put in the furnace of fire over there in Daniel. Over there in Daniel chapter 3. Over there in Daniel chapter 3. They wouldn't bow down. They wouldn't bow down, amen, to that image of Nebuchadnezzar. They refused to bow down to that. We remember their names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And as a result, they were thrown into the furnace of fire, amen. And they said that fire, that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it want to be heated. They heated that up 7 times hotter than it ever been before. In fact, we're told, and he commanded the mighty men, commanded the most mighty men that they were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. But we're also told that these men that threw them in, the fire was so hot that they also perished, amen. The ones who were stoking the fire. Amen. So we see them in there. They're cast into the fire. And what we see then, he says, Nebuchadnezzar says, and he answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, that they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." The Son of God was with those three Hebrew children. The point I want to make, Christian, is this. I'd rather go through the furnace fire of whatever this life can throw me, amen, with the Lord Jesus Christ, than be in that pit of hell with no God, with no saints of God, all alone, amen. I'd rather go through this life. I'd rather go through any fiery trial that comes this way, because I have the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the Lord Jesus Christ was with those three Hebrew children. He's with you and I, child of God. He's with you and I. He's going to put you in that fiery furnace just like he did those three children, but he's going to be there right with you, and he's going to deliver you. I'd rather be in that the fiery furnace right now than the fiery furnace that some are going to face for eternity someday. No relief in hell. Number 5, there'll be no answered prayer. What's missing in hell? No answered prayer. No answered prayer. The rich man makes two prayer requests in hell. Number 1, Lazarus, come and cool his tongue. Lazarus, come and cool his tongue, number 1. That was denied. God heard it, but it wasn't answered. Number 2, Lazarus, be sent as a witness. In verse 27 of Luke 16, then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." So the second request was that Lazarus be sent to his 5 brethren, to his father's house, to witness to them and to tell them, "Hey, if you don't get right with God, if you don't shape up, if you don't do what God wants you to do, you're going to end up like your brother in the pits of hell. You'll be lifting up your eyes. You'll be crying out for mercy. There's no mercy. There's no relief." Amen. But we see the second request. The second request was for a supernatural witness to be sent to his family. It was denied. Abraham told him, told the rich man, even if we did send Lazarus, they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't believe the supernatural witness from the dead. If you think about it, Jesus Christ is a supernatural witness from the dead. But still people don't believe him. The Bible, the scriptures, historical accounts of how he rose from the dead. He was a supernatural witness. He's come to each and every one of our homes and knocking on the door and wanting to come in. One that rose from the dead. But the problem is, they're not believing Jesus because they won't believe the word of God, just like in the days of that rich man. His family, they had Moses and the prophet. They didn't believe the word of God, and Jesus said they wouldn't believe a supernatural witness from the dead. I tell you right now, in hell tonight, there's a burden for lost souls. Right this morning, there is a burden like you wouldn't believe for lost souls in heaven. But unfortunately, I know they'd hawk everything they do. They could. They have a missionary program to send missionaries out to tell people about what's going on in hell today. This is a missionary. God put this down in his book to give us a message to read, amen, why we need to send people afar. Not only do we need to witness here in our own communities, in our towns, in our state, and in the United States, but we need to send missionaries abroad so they can testify of what's going on in Luke 16, so they can tell people the literal burning hell. That's the problem today. That's the problem today. Preachers don't preach about hell. Oh, God, you know, God, the God of love. Yeah, he's a God of love, all right. But God so loved the world, past tense, he gave his son. That's all the love you're going to get. If you don't come to him, if you don't come to his son, amen, he hates sin. The wages of sin is death. You're going to go to hell. There's a burden for lost souls in hell right at this moment. It's too late to pray when you're in hell. It's too late to pray when you're in hell. It's too late to pray. Here's a man that had a burden for the lost souls of his family. It's too late to pray then. It's too late to have someone go and witness to them. Amen. No answered prayers in hell. No answered prayers in hell. That's what's missing in hell. Not to say there aren't prayers going up. You can hear the wailing and the crying. If we could hear that today, if we could go down the center of the earth, that's where right underneath our feet today, as I'm preaching from this pulpit, there are people right down in the center of the earth right now screaming and wailing. Send someone to my relatives. Tell them if they don't trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they're going to be in the same predicament as me, and I don't want them here. Go, go, go! No answered prayers in hell. No answered prayers in hell. Number 6, no unbelievers or doubters are in hell right now. Hell makes a believer out of everybody. Every person that's in hell right now believes the Bible, believes the Word of God, believes that it's true, amen. But once you get to hell, it's too late to be saved. You only get one opportunity to be saved, and that's right now. There's no purgatory. There's no praying someone out of purgatory, amen. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto men, once to die, but after this, the judgment, there is no second chance. All the religions out there are religions of second chances. The Bible tells you clearly there is no second chance. This is all the chance you're going to get. If you accept the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation, or suffer in torment in a lake of fire for eternity. Hell made a believer out of the rich man. It made a believer so much out of him, as we just talked about, that he wanted someone to go and witness to his family about what their fate was. What their fate was. You see, we're saved by grace through faith. Something cannot be faith. Something cannot be hoped for if you can see it and you can feel it and you can touch it. All we can feel and see and touch right now, brothers and sisters, is the Word of God, God's written revelation. We have more light, spiritual light, than anyone before us had. Even in Jesus' day, we have the full written revelation to feel, to touch, and to read and understand. But we have to believe the words of God. We have to believe the words of God. From Jesus' own lips, from the lips of John, in the Gospel of John, he said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." You can't see it on your shoulders, but the wrath of God abideth on you right now if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that wrath, that chip will be cashed in someday. That wrath is going to be transformed in what we're talking about, eternity, in a lake of fire that goes on forever and ever. Their torment and their smoke ascendeth forever and ever. Jesus said to Thomas, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." So it's too late to be saved after you see hell. Hey, everybody want to be saved after they see hell, man. We're trying to see hell today. You have to see hell today through the Gospel of Luke. God is letting us see hell, what hell is like, through the Word of God. No, we can't feel it this morning. No, we can't touch it. But we have the account of exactly what is in hell this very moment. It's too late to be saved after you see hell. You must believe on Christ now before it's too late. Before it's too late. You know, what a terrible wake-up call to think you've done all of these things in life, that you're prepared to meet your Maker. You've done all the religious things to a T. And then to wake up one day in a place that we've been describing this morning. A place of eternal torments, plural. Flames, fire, no relief. To find out that you've been duped by the religions of the world, and to find out that the Bible is true. The Bible is true this morning. Believe. Believe now before it's too late. Before you wake up in that place of eternal torment. Number 7. There's no comfort. What's missing in hell? There's no comfort. Verse 25. And Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." In the beginning of this account of the rich man, we were told that he fared sumptuously, amen. He was arrayed in fine purple, amen. He probably was a good standing, upstanding citizen, belonged to all the different clubs in the organization, and gave to different charities, amen. But what we're told is, he had no comfort in hell, only torment. See, all the comfort that an unsaved person is going to get is right now where they're alive. As someone once said, I think it was D.L. Moody that said, for an unsaved person, this is all of heaven they're ever going to get. And for a saved person, this is all of hell that we're ever going to get, praise God. But that man was comforted. He had every convenience. He had plenty of food. Amen. He had servants. He fared sumptuously. He was a great businessman. So he was comforted while he was alive, but now he was tormented. But now we see that little beggar, Lazarus, that poor man. We're told that he laid at the gates, just waiting there for some crumbs to fall off this guy's table. And the dogs would come and lick his sores. Amen. He had a pretty lousy physical life, if you thought about it. But praise God, he went through all the torments that life could ever throw at him. But praise God that this poor man, this downcast that society didn't want anything to do, was now being eternally comforted in Abraham's bosom. Amen. Eternal comfort in Abraham's bosom. You know, as a Christian, I mentioned it early, if you're going to live godly for Christ Jesus, Paul says you're going to suffer persecution. And I want to tell you that I would rather suffer whatever persecution this life has right now, whatever torments it may have right now, whatever it may throw at me, I'd rather have it now and have the eternal comforts in heaven someday. We see Paul the Apostle reminds us whatever we suffer down here on earth while alive is nothing compared to the glory we're going to receive in heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, I love the way he says, for our light afflictions, whatever you're going through, it's a light affliction, which is but for a moment, see, it's going to come to pass, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Whatever torments you can go through down, it's nothing going to be to the glory we're going to be up there, amen. That's the blessed hope, the resurrection of our body, amen. That's what we're looking forward to. You know, I like what it says about Moses. Moses there in the great chapter of the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. He refused by faith to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That should be our testimony. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Egypt is a picture of the world. And again, Pharaoh's daughter is part of that world system. Amen. That should be our testimony. Refused to be part of this world system and to promote this world system and the things and the people of this world system, amen. Refuse it. Refuse to rather suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. To enjoy, you know, to satisfy this flesh and to enjoy the things that we're bombarded with every day from the magazines and the television and the radio and, you know, minding your own business and driving your car and just looking straight ahead. That should be our testimony. Because, as Paul said, there's a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory waiting for us. So we see then, number seven, there is no comfort in hell. And lastly, I want to say this. There's no escape from hell. There's no way out. Look at it in verse 26. In Luke 16. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf. There's a great gulf, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. There's a great gulf. There's no way out. There's no escape. That's what's missing in hell. There's no escape. There's a great gulf affixed. Final separation. Final place where you'll spend eternity. Final separation from God and from God's people. And from God's book. A great gulf. A great gulf that cannot be spanned when you're dead. I love the hymn at Calvary. It says, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Trust Jesus Christ now as your personal Savior. And someday you won't worry about that great gulf that can't be spanned down there in hell because you won't be there. Allow him to span the great gulf between you and God, between you and your sins. If you take this cross, here's you on one side, here's God on the other side. The work, Jesus said, it is finished on the cross. This is what spans between the sinner and a holy God. And you can walk just right across it to God because of what Jesus did at Calvary. There's a way of escape right now. There's a way to escape to God, but someday there's going to be no way of escape from that eternal place of torment. Maybe you're thinking out there,